Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening to the show. I'm Doug Gottlieb, filling in for Colin Cowherd. I'm actually in Champaign-Urbana, at the House of Pain. Site of tonight's top 10 matchup in college hoop. You can see on Fox Sports 1. You can hear me on the Compass Media Networks call. Iowa taking on Illinois, a little college hoop. Let's get after it, shall we? Okay. All the talk of trading Deshaun Watson. I want to be traded. Matter of fact, he asked weeks ago. We had not heard from the Houston Texans. We started the show by saying, like, look, I don't know how to break it to you, but the Houston Texans don't actually have to trade Deshaun Watson. He signed a contract after they traded Nuke Hopkins. That contract paid him $73 million up front in cash, which is not just signing bonus for his first year and for the contract, but for this coming year and the following year. He's already been paid for those years. So it's money they can't recoup. They're not going to just go, oh, hey, we paid you for 3 years. You played one. You have a good run. You have a good life. Plus, there's a tax bill. Not a tax bill. There's a dead cap money if he leaves. Like, the whole thing is not great. And what's the best case scenario in the draft? You draft a quarterback to become Deshaun Watson? Yeah, that doesn't. Oh, yeah, I should mention that if you trade Deshaun Watson in basically the first year of his new deal, what does it say about anybody else under contract with the Texans that wants out? Well, Nick Caserio is the new general manager of the Texans. He came over from the New England Patriots, and he had this to say at his press conference about an hour ago.
Just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring.
That was Nick Caserio, the new general manager, who's just like, hey, look, we look forward to spending time with him. That's his first statement. We have no intention of trading him. Do I think he's telling the truth? I do. I think it's highly unlikely they trade him. Now, if somebody says, like, we'll give you the kitchen sink, then sure. You got to consider it. The problem is, Jacksonville's a team that could throw the kitchen sink at him, and I don't think Jacksonville will do it. And while you could say, hey, Deshaun is a proven player, Trevor is not proven, Deshaun makes a lot more money, so he eats up more cap space. Additionally, like, look, Deshaun's been hurt a lot. He's torn both ACL and both knees. He's obviously tougher than a $2 steak. You know, he's played with a collapsed lung and taking a van to a game in Jacksonville because he couldn't fly after that collapsed lung. I mean, that's a tough dude. But he is a guy that's been oft injured as opposed to Trevor Lawrence, who the worst thing that happened to him in college was that he got COVID. And so he missed a couple games, including the Notre Dame game. He's not an injured dude. So I think when you combine the amount of money that he makes, I'm talking about the number one overall pick, in comparison to what Deshaun makes, and Deshaun's been banged up, I don't even think that deal would make. You know, I don't think Carolina can get in on it. I don't think, you know, no matter how many picks you give, you're sitting there going, like, what's the best case scenario if we do make a pick? What, that he becomes a Deshaun Watson? Why, we already have Deshaun Watson, and he's under contract for the next 5 years. I believe him. I absolutely believe him. I think this is the plan. The rest is just internet fodder. The rest is just, I mean, we've seen this before. I know it sounds and feels believable. Take what happened in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago, right? There were people who were convinced, absolutely convinced, that there would be no change of power, right? There, what's that pillow guy? I look forward to, you know, Trump's second administration. Like, he was all in. Pillow guy was all in. Like, yeah, that's not actually how it's going to, never mind. How many TV shows have been dedicated to Deshaun Watson? Where should he go? How many radio shows have been, you know, the Jets, you know, the Cowboys, you know, the Rams, you know? I mean, look, do I think that's what his agent wants to do, to engineer a trade to get him to a team where he can compete right away, a city that he can sell him and he can be happier? Sure. Here's the problem. You got a contract. And there's not a lot of places or a lot of people that are going to hold you to that contract, but it appears the Houston Texans are one of them. And he just signed the contract. It's not like it's the last year of a deal. It's basically the first year of the deal. He got paid in advance for a deal, which really becomes real tangible money against the cap this year. And I think that's going to be a tough one. So Caserio came in, and it's one thing to go, we're not trading him. It's another thing to be effusive in your praise and saying we have no plans to trade him. Once again, if you missed it, this is Nick Caserio, the new GM of the Texans.
Just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring.
Okay. My feeling about Deshaun Watson, and I have not heard anybody say a bad word about the dude. Not one guy say a bad word about Deshaun Watson. But if he is what he purports himself to be, then he absolutely owes not just one, but a litany of conversations with everybody involved. You know, if whatever happened between him and Jack Easterby happened, you don't have to talk to Jack Easterby, but you want to meet with your new general manager, you want to meet with your new head coach, you want to meet with your new quarterback coach, new offensive coordinator. Those are guys, sit down, have a cup of coffee, talk it out. What are our plans? What are we going to do with the draft? What are we going to do? This is the kid who is the starting star player. Coach gets fired. New coach comes in and without meeting with him, puts himself in the transfer portal and decides I'm leaving. Where are you going? And the only difference is, you know, in college sports, you used to have to sit out a year. Sometimes, obviously, now you don't. In the NFL, he got paid up front for 3 years of service and he only played one. I don't see any way in which they move him. And that appears to be what their plan is as well. If you give in, if you acquiesce to Deshaun Watson having just signed a deal 6-7 months ago on a contract and then trade him because he's not happy, who can't walk into the office and say the exact same thing? That's not any way to run any sort of business, especially the business of sports. Yeah, they were bad this year. But the quarterback sets a good portion of the culture. Not all of it. Right? The president does, the GM does, the head coach absolutely does. But there's also a leader on offense and a leader on defense. And the offense has to be buttoned up. That's on him. And frankly, he's the leader of the team. That torch has been passed from J.J. Watt to Deshaun Watson a while back because J.J. Watt is a shell of the player he used to be because of all those years and all that mileage and all those injuries he sustained. So I agree with what the Texans are doing because, you know, you get these leaked stories, which are clearly all coming from Deshaun Watson's agent about how he's what is it that he not hardcore? What's the term used that he wants to? I mean, he's ready to get after it. He's ready to hold firm to a stance. Like, really? Everybody says that. Everybody says, well, he's really dug in. I am not ever going to cross that line. You cross that line and it's over. Okay, here's another line. You cross that line and it's over. I mean, I can't think of how many negotiations. It's like the old last and final. My old agent used to say that. There's no such thing as last and final. If we're still talking, there's no last and final negotiation offer. It's just this is the last one they've come to us with. Coming up next, here in the herd, Doug Gottlieb filling in for Colin. Man, I saw this story. It's a good one, too. I saw this one. It's a good one. We do have a best for last that I really like. The best for last is a quarterback-centric best for last. Quarterback-centric. I don't want to give it all away, but it's a quarterback-centric best for last. TJ Houshmandzadeh joins the show next. The Texans are saying they'll hold firm. Will they? Will they? Plus, I have this thought about the Super Bowl and a Super Bowl comp that I want to make. I think the Chiefs are going to lose, and their loss is going to be very, very similar to a loss of a recent great team, arguably the greatest team in the last 25 years in the NFL. Get to that upcoming next, but first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Men across America love Tommy John underwear because they keep everything in place. No more flopping or sticking to yourself. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd and save 15% on your first order. See site for details. Doug Gottlieb in for Colin. This is The Herd. My man was a two-time Pro Bowler. He is a savant when it comes to the wide receiver position. He's the one and only TJ Houshmandzadeh. I got a bunch of things I want to get with you. Scotty Miller, running by King. We had Rod Woodson on earlier, and he was like, when you're in man coverage and you're 6 feet back, you're in no man's land. But what were your thoughts on, was it the coverage or was it the play of the defender? What led to him being so wide open at the end of the first half?
Number one, you got to understand the situation. And so, obviously, the players on the field, you're at fault. But who in their right mind, with no timeouts, I believe it was 8 seconds left, who plays man-to-man? You put your butt to the sideline, let them catch it inbound, tackle them, it's halftime. Who plays man-to-man defense in that situation? That's number one. Number two, if you are going to play man, we're always taught if a guy, and what Rod Woodson said, that's no man's land. Either you're all the way up or you're 8 to 9 yards off. And with that being the case, know it's 8 seconds left. Know that you're in a bad play call. Play over the top. Don't give him anything over you. Make him catch the ball underneath. More than likely, he's going to be tackled, and it's halftime. So it was, to me, it was just bad all the way around. Bad coaching, bad plan.
How do you think Brady played?
It was a tell of two halves, really. Played fantastic in the first half and did not play well in the second half. But if you look at it in the second half with the interceptions, you could look at them as a long punt, so to speak, or the turnovers were just long punts. And the defense came through. The defense bailed him out, and that's just the only way you can explain it. He did not play well in the second half, but the defense bailed him out.
What about Aaron Rodgers? How'd he play?
I thought Aaron Rodgers played, if we're going to scale to 1 to 10, I'd give him 8.5. He played very well, and the only reason he doesn't get a 9 or 10 because I felt like on that third down, he could have probably run that ball in. He might score with his athleticism because guys aren't going to really come off. He probably scores.
Look like if you look at it, JPP had an angle on him. But regardless, I was surprised he didn't try and run on second. He didn't try and run on third. Like that used to be what Aaron Rodgers would do. He'd kill you with his legs. And they're doubling his best wide receiver. There's at least space there to make a play. And I know that cornerbacks come off their man, and all of a sudden, you know, those guys have some closing speed. But I was surprised as well that Aaron. He doesn't run nearly as much as he used to, and in that situation, really surprising.
It was one of those things where when you look at the replay, and obviously he's playing the game, so he might see or feel something that we don't see or feel. But just looking at it, you're in that situation, sometimes, hadn't been hit all game, not hard anyway, sometimes I got to just put my body on the line, because if we score this touchdown, we have an opportunity to get the two-point conversion and send the OT. It didn't happen, and here we go. Here we are.
Okay, so what was he so mad about after the game?
We all watching the game, Doug. I was watching the game. My son was watching the game. Why are they kicking the field goal? My son is six. Why are they kicking the field goal? And that's what he's mad about. Why are we kicking a field goal? It's just about, I believe it was 2:08 left on the game. And, yeah, the defense had been playing well. And yeah, you had your timeouts. But even if you don't get it, they're backed up. They're gonna be conservative on the 8-yard line. They're probably gonna run the ball three times, hope to get a first down, punt it back. And so yeah, he was just probably upset that put the ball in my hands and let's see if we can convert this.
Okay, so this is, you know, it's super interesting to me. You're mad about that, and then he kind of walked it back. Do you think the Packers do they extend him here in the offseason? Do they get rid of Jordan Love? Like, is there anything they do to appease their superstar quarterback?
Honestly, this is one of his better seasons, and he probably felt like the writing was on the wall. You don't draft a quarterback in the first round just to draft him in the first round. You're drafting him to develop him to be the heir apparent. And so he comes out and gives the type of season that he gives him, and now it's the elephant in the room. You still have this quarterback that you drafted in the first round. When do you plan on passing the torch? Well, I want some clarification. I want to be very transparent. Either you extend me, give me some more guaranteed money, and I know I have at least two more years, or you don't, and I know it's the beginning of the end and a lot closer to the end, because when you drafted him, you told him it was the beginning of the end. And so I believe he just wants some type of clarification, be transparent in what's going on. If they don't give him an extension or just probably move some money forward, I believe this will be his last year this upcoming season in Green Bay.
I'm going to guess that they're going to move some money around and they'll give him.
If they're smart, the way he played,
yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. And if Jordan Love can continue just to sit there and develop, it's only going to be better for him and for his future and for the Green Bay Packers.
Here's what I said, and we had John Middlecoff on earlier. I think he's like you and I can relate on this. He's like a 2020 Suburban, right? Like, if you go down to the Chevy dealership and you want to go get a sub right now, they're like, hey, old body style, it's brand new, we'll give you $10,000 off MSRP, right? So it's not like a used car, because the second he plays, now everybody's like, oh, he can play or he can't play, right? Because no one's seen him, didn't play in the preseason, he didn't dress for games, like, no one's seen him. He's like that he's not even a demo. He's a brand new car, but so I don't think they can get a first for him, but I think they get a second for him. And then the longer he sits there, next year's not, I don't believe, is going to be nearly the quarterback year, because there's not a Trevor Lawrence sitting out there. Maybe next year they could get a first for him when he goes through a training camp. He plays a little preseason. He does some good things, and he builds up that reputation.
This is what's going to happen, Doug. If they want to move off of Jordan Love and see what they can get for him, this is what's going to happen. We're going to hear during the season how great Jordan Love looks in practice. We're going to hear, oh, my God, he had a great training camp. Oh, my God, he is shredding the defense on scout team. That's what we're going to hear, because they're trying to throw things out there to see what sticks, see who bites. If they're going to proceed with A-Rod as that quarterback, we will get great reviews from how he's doing in practice, guaranteed.
Okay, let's get to some of the other stuff. Deshaun Watson, let me play for you. This is the new general manager of the Houston Texans. Just got the job, sits down. Before anybody take any questions, this is what he had to say.
Just want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. He's had a great impact on this organization, a great impact on a lot of people, a great impact on this team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring once we get started. And, you know, we have zero interest in trading the player. We have a great plan, a great vision for him and for this team and his role on our team. And we look forward to the opportunity to spend more time with him here this spring.
All right. Do you believe what he says?
If he's smart, he should believe what he says. Do I believe it? Yeah, because if Deshaun Watson is on that team, they're a better team. But with that being said, when I was a player, Doug, I felt like, oh, we got great players. We're going to win. And then you watch the people on TV like yourself, and they say this and that, and you're like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. But when I retired and you hear yourself and Colin Cowherd constantly speak on this, dysfunction, that word dysfunction, the owner, general manager, head coach, and quarterback need to all be on the same page. That's what you guys preach, correct?
Yeah, I don't think I think the owner is the most overrated thing in the history of sport, right?
Okay,
because all you need to do for the owner, right, is will the owner write the check? Yeah, this guy's going to write the check. He already wrote the check. He gave him $73 million last year.
If everybody's not on the same page, there's going to be a disconnect. And you don't want the leader of your team not wanting to be there. If they're not going to trade him, of course he's going to play and show up. But you're not going to get his all because he doesn't want to be there. And so it's tough when it's the face of the franchise and it's a quarterback. We've never seen this before. And so what happens if they don't trade him? Does he's going to be a professional, but you're not going to get his all because in the back of his mind, he doesn't want to be here. And that's the thing where I don't know what went wrong. You said you were going to keep me in a loop. You didn't. You said you would communicate. You didn't. He demanded a trade before the head coach was hired a long time ago. Now it's just coming out that the trade has been demanded. Are they going to do it? To me, if you can get what you're looking for, you do it and you move on. And if you can't, you keep them. It's a business. But if you can get what you're looking for, you have to move them. This is supposed to be a good quarterback draft. If you can get a pick in the top five, I think you move them.
Your favorite basketball player of all time is who?
Wow. Kobe.
Okay, right. Kobe died a year ago this week. Rest in peace to Kobe. Kobe asked to be, he wanted to be traded from the Lakers.
He did.
He came back
to the Bulls.
He came back, gave his all. The Bulls wouldn't come off Luol Deng. That was why that trade wasn't made. Right? Think about that one. And then Luol Deng ends up like wasting money for the Lakers in the last three. I think he's still getting paid by the Lakers. Anyway, I'm gonna disagree with you. I think that's all the agent, right? The agent is the same agent as Jalen Ramsey. Is this him trying to, you know, throw
best
his weight
agent,
around?
Hey, he the best agent in the game. David Mulligetta, best agent in the game.
Okay. Like this is the game of chicken, and I don't think the Texans are blinking. So
you don't want a guy on your team that doesn't want to be there. You just don't want it. Not with a
but you're not meeting with the coach, you're not meeting with the GM. He didn't know what he doesn't know. He didn't know about what those guys' plan is. Like and no one has anything bad to say about Deshaun. No one. No one's like, that's the best secret. No one does the sneaky bad dude. He's not a sneaky bad dude. He's a good dude. But the not meeting with guys, not hearing guys out, not sitting down and going like, oh, okay. Like we can do this. Like or we can't. But to not meet with guys, I don't think that's good for him.
He'll be a professional. If they want to meet, I'm sure he'll meet at some point in time. But it's going to be how they maneuver through this treacherous wall. It's going to be interesting because when you have a quarterback, if your wife says, I want to get a divorce, and, oh, okay, we'll just stay together. In the back of your mind, you're always going to think, she told me she wanted to divorce me. You're always going to have that. You're always going to have that in the back of your mind. Like, she really don't want to be with me, but I guess we're going to try to work it out.
The Lakers worked it out to two more NBA championships. Bring in Pau Gasol, and the rest is history.
Now, if they can bring in some players and you can start to win, if obviously winning changes everything. They have
everything.
No draft capital, and so you better bring in the right guys.
No question. But it's going to be fascinating. TJ Hushmanzada is our guest. What are the Rams doing? Because Jared Goff ain't going anywhere with that contract, and yet they're making it seem like, okay, he's got to go through some quarterback competition if he's on the team. What's Les Snead doing?
Well, he's going to be on the team for sure.
I know.
Unless they can pull a Brock Osweiler. But it's almost crazy. Number one, they're losing all their coaches on both sides of the ball. They just they're in a dilemma. They gave Gurley that contract, and they gave Goff that contract, and obviously they regret it. Now, what that is, that I know, that just messed it up for guys in the future. Nobody from the Los Angeles Rams will ever get a contract early again. They're going to make everybody play it out moving forward because of those two. When you say the number one pick who you've extended to big money has to compete with an undrafted guy, it's a problem at the quarterback position. That's a huge problem. And it's a problem that we all know Jared Goff's going to be the quarterback. They're not going to pay Jared Goff all that money to sit on the bench. That's just not going to happen. And so can he get back to the form that took him to the Super Bowl? They better get some offensive linemen to keep him protected. He's not a mobile quarterback, and I think that's starting to show now because the game is moving to more of a athleticism at the quarterback position. But what they need to do, what would really help him, get him a vertical threat. Get him a guy that can really threaten you vertically down the field because the Rams, they don't really vertically attack you down the field. Everything is horizontal, is lateral, jet sweeps, crossing. They don't have that vertical threat. If they can get a vertical threat, maybe it opens things up, and teams can't play them the way they've been playing them as well. So that may help.
Yeah, they had one, and they traded him to Houston, right? Right, and then
they'll get one. They'll get one this offseason. I'll tell you who it's going to be off air.
Oh! This is break. This is off air breaking news. TJ Hushmanzada joining us. You, actually, by the way, TJ had you had Tom Brady leaving. He's never going back. But did you have him going to Tampa?
I did have him going to Tampa. I just couldn't tell you that because then who told me probably would have been upset about it. But I knew he was going to Tampa. Yes.
Okay.
And
so
hey, Doug, by the way, preseason, before the season started, Super Bowl participants were the Chiefs and the Bucks. Just FYI.
Okay. FYI, I had the Packers and the Chiefs. So I'd be like, you're better than me, but not that much better than me.
Pretty good.
Okay. The Chiefs will probably not have either. They were not going to have one. They probably won't have both of their bookend tackles. And if you look back at their depth chart, they're down four offensive linemen from the start of the year. And obviously, Tom Brady's good, but he's not as good as Pat Mahomes at this point in Pat Mahomes' career, right? But that front for the Buccaneers, am I crazy or does this feel like the Patriots-Giants first Super Bowl matchup? Where the Patriots were undefeated. Remember, they beat the Giants last game of the regular season, but they just couldn't protect Brady. I mean, even the second one's the same thing, where no matter how – but the first one, that was the year he threw 50 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
And they had Randy Moss. You're like, man. And he was never comfortable the entire game. Aaron Rodgers was never comfortable because that defensive line is so nasty. Is that how you see this thing going?
I do see it going that way, but I wouldn't say that the Chiefs are like the Patriots. The Patriots steamrolled everybody. The Chiefs played very well in the AFC Championship game against the Bills, but prior to that, they were struggling to put up points. But when you lose Fisher, your left tackle, and you can't, with the Bucs, you can't just say, oh, we're going to focus on this guy. They literally got that whole front four can rush the passer.
Yeah.
They can get pressure up the middle. And they
just like the Giants, right? Just like the Giants. That was what the Giants were. The Giants were the NASCAR pass rush. Two different times, there wasn't a dude that you could focus on because they were all so good.
The key is just don't let Tyreek Hill get 200 yards in the first quarter, and we will have a game on our hands. We'll have a classic because down 28-10, I believe the Bucs was that first game they were down. And next thing you know, it's 28-24. But they got in a hole in that first half, and they just couldn't get out of it.
Hoosh, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, are you fired? Big Ben's like, yeah, I'll come back. I mean, I don't even care what I play for. I mean, obviously, they got to rework his contract because it's such a big number. But are you fired up for that if you're Pittsburgh, considering how up and down a year he had?
No, I'm not fired up for that. I'm really – the way the season ended, and even when they were undefeated, I was actually on their side. I'm like, I don't care how bad you think they are. They're undefeated. They're a good team. Nobody believed in them even when they were undefeated, and then the flaws started to come out. They couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. Pouncey said he's going to retire. And to me, the Steelers, you don't rebuild. They're always going to play defense. They have the pieces offensively. I don't believe they're going to bring back Connor or Juju, but you'll still be fine offensively. But where do they go? Where do they go? And so they don't have a choice but to let Big Ben play this year unless they can find a replacement. I don't see that. The Steelers aren't going to have a losing season. And if Big Ben isn't there, it's quite possible that can be the case. But am I excited? If I'm a Steelers fan, absolutely not.
Hoosh, great stuff, man. Can't wait to talk with you. And send me that name off air, and I'll enjoy your insight. Thanks for joining us, dude.
I got you, Doug. You take care. Keep up the great work, man.
All right, TJ Oshmandzadeh. By the way, you should download Up on Game. It's a pod and a show that he, LeVar Arrington, and Plaxico Burress are all on Fox Sports Radio on the weekends. But you can just download it. It's like three dudes that were all great players, good dudes, just telling stories, talking about what's really going on in football. Up on Game, downloaded on the iHeartRadio app or on foxsportsradio.com. Okay, coming up next. Oh, wait, first, let's get to Ryan Music with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
It's all right, Doug. I know this is your least favorite part of the hour.
No. I enjoy it. Stop it.
No. Always good to hear you and TJ chop it up. Just such great football knowledge there. A team, actually, TJ's former team, the Cincinnati Bengals, they got their quarterback of the future in Joe Burrow, an unfortunate injury to end his rookie season. But his head coach, Zach Taylor, was asked about Joe Burrow, about his rehab from that injury in The Athletic. He said that Burrow's been around quite a bit. He does everything he can possibly do right now. He's adamant about that. The last time I saw him about 2 weeks ago, everything's positive. Everything seems to be on pace. He's doing everything he can to be ready for week one of the next NFL season.
I mean, there's never been a player ever that went through a surgery that wasn't expected to make a full recovery. That said, Joe Burrow had the look of a dude, right? It didn't, like, yeah, that guy, that dog will hunt is the expression.
Yeah. Certainly showed some promise early on. Hopefully he can come back from that knee injury, and hopefully the Bengals can put a little bit more talent around him. And we'll wrap it up with this, Doug, moving it over to the NFC East. We mentioned this a bit earlier, but the Eagles had their first press conference with new head coach Nick Sirianni. I leave it up to you to go ahead and check Twitter to see some of the early reviews. Not so great. There have been some comparisons, not exactly to how Adam Gase's first press conference went, but how Twitter has received it is not been positive. One of the things of note, he talked about the quarterback position. He said, "I feel great. You look at a lot of rosters, they don't have any quarterbacks that they feel really good about. We have two. That is unbelievable to be able to have two quarterbacks that have played and have played well." Things not getting off to a great start so far for Nick Sirianni trying to fill the void.
What's he supposed to say?
I felt as though it was a situation to where what he probably should have said was something to the effect of, "Hey, Jalen's a great young player, and we are fully committed to doing everything we can to get Carson Wentz back to MVP form." Leaving it as open-ended as we have two great quarterbacks. And there was another comment that he made where he said it's not up to him. He said if he can make any comment on Carson Wentz staying or if he will be back, I can't answer that. Doesn't feel like what you probably should have had prepared for your opening press conference. Feels like what you should have said is something more along the lines of, if it is my decision, we 100% want Carson Wentz on this team.
Agreed. And he wouldn't have gotten the job not for Carson Wentz. I didn't hear it. I'm only, you know, you're paraphrasing and I'm listening to you paraphrase it. I just think, you know, like Twitter thinks, you know, everybody's an idiot except if you're on Twitter. Right? When you're on Twitter and he's actually the coach of the Eagles. So here's the thing. None of it actually matters. This is the thing about press conferences. None of it actually, you know, what matters if they can motivate those 53 dudes in the room to play. They get a good enough staff, good enough players. They can motivate those 53. That stuff doesn't matter. The press conferences matter in college because you got to recruit the parents. You got to recruit the high school coaches. You got to recruit the mentors. Don't really matter in the NFL.
That's the news.
That's Ryan Music with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
All right, the best for last is next. Our dream scenarios on what quarterback will play where next year. Who could be with the Saints? Who would be with the Cowboys? Who would be with the Rams? Who would be with the Texans? Who would be with the Find out next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Black Rifle Coffee is a veteran-owned coffee company that serves premium coffee to people who love America. Purchase at www.blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Use the code HERD to check out for 20% of your first coffee club order. We didn't get to it all. We still saved some. It's the best for last.
It's almost the end of the show, but that doesn't mean we're phoning it in. Nope, we grind to the very last segment. It's time for Best for Last.
All right, Doug Gottlieb for calling. This is The Herd. I'm going to take a deep breath, and here's what we did. We came up with the quarterback moves we'd actually love to see happen. Forget the salary caps and the reality, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Like, I was taught in movie theories class or something that you have to disconnect from reality when you go into a movie. So the reality is Houston came out today. We're not trading Deshaun Watson. I don't think they're trading Deshaun Watson either. That's the reality. The reality is you can't trade Jared Goff or dump Jared Goff because of the salary cap hit with the dead cap money. I want you to suspend disbelief for a second. And let's get to the best for last. Okay, here's the take. Jimmy G leaves San Francisco. The reality is he could. They don't really owe him any money. Then get out of it. He reunites with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Now, Brady looks like he's already won the divorce. We know that Belichick loves Jimmy G. Didn't want to trade him until Brady went to ownership and forced the move. By the way, Tom Brady comes back next year. Most Patriots have a very good, solid first year and then fall off a cliff. Can Jimmy fill the void that Brady left behind? Remember, the Patriots were cash-strapped, no salary cap room. Now they have tons of salary cap room, and they get the quarterback back. Deshaun Watson goes to the Rams. His agent already engineered Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. Engineers the same thing. What do the Rams want? They want a dude back there for Sean McVay. They want somebody who's mobile. They can who can move the pocket, somebody with confidence. I mean, look what McVay has already done for Jared Goff. Imagine what he can do for Deshaun Watson, right? And how great would that be in that offense? Okay, how about this? Carson Wentz, resurrected by Frank Reich and the Colts. His new head coach just came out and bumbled and stumbled and didn't guarantee to be on the team. The Indianapolis Colts are a quarterback away, and nobody whispers better in a quarterback's ear like the quarterback whisperer himself, Frank Reich, who, of course, was the coach of Carson Wentz back when he was the MVP or potential MVP of the league. Big Ben retires, replaced by Jameis Winston. You know, when you look at Jameis Winston's career, off-the-field troubles. People forget Big Ben between what happened or alleged to have happened in Tahoe. And what happened, you remember, he went over the handlebars of his motorcycle. He was a knucklehead in his youth, too. And there was the Georgia bar thing. And he held the ball too long, took too many chances. That's Jameis Winston, on the field, off the field. Big Ben matured, won two Super Bowls, is a Hall of Famer. Maybe they can do the same thing for Jameis. Sam Darnold leaves the Jets, goes to the 49ers via trade. Was lack of talent in New York? Shanahan can make anybody into a winner, right? And they always loved Sam Darnold. They establish a running game. They make the looks cleaner. They support him. It's like the dream. Sam Darnold is athletic enough for that system as well to move the pocket. Darnold and Kyle Shanahan go better than Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. Okay. So what about this one? Matt Stafford goes home, plays for the Cowboys. Now stick with me for a second. He grew up in Dallas, and they need a quarterback. Plus, he doesn't need $35, $40 million a year. He's already made a ton of money. So you get $22 million in the contract. Maybe you rework it mid-20s for a couple of years. I mean, think about it. He was able to put up all those numbers with limited weapons. You give him Amari Cooper. You give him CeeDee Lamb, you give him Ezekiel Elliott. You got dudes now. Dudes. So what does that mean for Dak? Sean Payton was once in Dallas. He steals Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott goes and plays for the New Orleans Saints. All right, sticks it to his old team with their old quarterback, Dak. to the Saints. Or Dak stays in the NFC East and sticks it to, well, what about the Eagles? Just a thought. Or this Washington football team. Either way, it would be fun. That's the best for last. Okay, so if you're just joining us, the new general manager of the Houston Texans said, we're not trading him. And you know what? They shouldn't. It's a game of chicken. The difference is they have the contract. I'm Doug Gottlieb.